Hello, and welcome to Robbinsdale Revisited. Today, I'm here with Pete Ritchie, president of the Robbinsdale Historical Society, and we're going to talk a little bit about the 1960s in Robbinsdale. Now, Robbinsdale's old city hall on West Broadway was torn down to make room for a Red Owl grocery store parking lot in 1954. Municipal offices had been moved into temporary quarters in the police and fire building on Hubbard Avenue the previous year. Construction on the new government offices behind Robin Center began in 1968. The Robbinsdale Civic Center was dedicated to Mayor Charles O. Wallace on October 24, 1970. Now, Wallace was the village recorder in 1937. A year later, he became Robbinsdale's first city clerk. He held office from 1938 until 1945. He served as mayor from 1947 through 1954 and again from 1967 to 1972. Sex education foes broadened their attack on public schools to include library books, films, and other materials used in English and social studies classes, as well as the teaching of evolution and even school taxes. William Boynton, the assistant superintendent at Robbinsdale, told the Afternoon Minneapolis Star that the leaders of the opposition were just kind of anti-school, and he believed that the passage of an $11.5 million bond issue was a vote of confidence for the Robbinsdale Schools Administration and Family Life curriculum. Mr. Milo M. Milkey retired as principal of Robbinsdale High School after 39 years in the district. Mr. Milkey was born in 1902 and was raised in Kenyon, Minnesota. He graduated from St. Olaf College and received his master's degree from the University of Minnesota. After teaching 2 years in Burndale, Minnesota, he came to Robbinsdale in 1929. At that time, there were 900 students in the district from grades 1st through 9th, and when he retired in June 1968, the district had grown to over 20,000 students. In 1941, Mr. Milkey was president of the Lions Club. He celebrated his 80th birthday in 1982, the year Robbinsdale High School was closed due to declining student enrollment.
At this time, Robbinsdale doesn't really have a city hall. What we've got is we got the municipal building that was built in 1948, and it's got the fire, and it's got the police station. And the upper floors are used for city offices and some administration there. And at the top floor, and we're going to have to go back a little bit, before we had the cool teen club in downtown Robbinsdale was someplace else, we had a little teen center in the top floor of the municipal building. That got started in the 1950s. The 1960s kids were rowdy, but the 1950s ones were having fun too. It got shut down because there was a lot of young women that were asking older guys to go buy them beer. And then the older guys would come back to the teen center and bring them beer, and they all got caught, and they were going to shut down the teen center. And they did for a minute or two, but there's a little bit of an outcry. And then the teen center got going again and was operating most of the time through the 1960s. So you'd come down when the teen center was open. It was mostly dancing. Everybody tells me that that's what they would do. They would go there, they'd put on a record, and they'd dance. Maybe there would be some other activity, but it's mostly just, hey, let's go dance. And it cost you a dime to get in. And then you went up to the third floor and everybody was dancing. And I wish I could see a movie of this or some pictures of this. When I think of the way the various dance crazes that came along, and, you know, by the 1960s, had they just given up doing goofy steps and were just up there wiggling and flopping their hair around barefoot. I've seen pictures of the high school dances. In the late 60s, you look around and you see half the girls aren't wearing shoes. And at first I thought, well, you know, maybe they were in heels or something that was uncomfortable to dance in. But I was told it was just cool to go out and dance barefoot. So we should talk a little bit more about Milo Milkey, who was actually the president of the Historical Society in, I guess it was the late 70s, early 80s. We still have notes around here. He lived just a couple blocks down. So Milo Milkey, in 1968, he retires as principal of Robbinsdale High School. He'd been doing that for 39 years with the school district. And Mr. Milkey was born in 1902. He was raised in Kenyon, Minnesota. He graduated from St. Olaf College and received a master's degree from the University of Minnesota. And after teaching for a couple of years in Burndale, Minnesota, he came to Robbinsdale in 1929. So at that time, he got 900 students, first through ninth grade. And then he retires in June of 1968. By the time he retires, you've got 20,000 students in the school district. In 1941, he was president of the Lions Club. He celebrated his 80th birthday in 1982, and I know at that time, again, he was president of the Robbinsdale Historical Society. And about that time, when he celebrates his 80th birthday, they closed Robbinsdale High School. And he was not shy. He was writing editorials to the newspaper. When they closed this Robbinsdale Library that we're sitting in, he was furious and was writing letters to the newspaper. So he was kind of always looking out for Robbinsdale. And they named Milky Field after him. But of course, Milky Field is in Crystal. So Robbinsdale is looking at itself, and at this point, even in 1968, 1969, 1970, Robbinsdale feels like it's not as new or as slick or as rich or as beautiful as New Hope and Golden Valley. I don't know. We always felt like we were on par with Crystal, but for some reason, you know, we were jealous of New Hope and Golden Valley. Golden Valley had nicer homes. It had newer homes. It had these rolling hills and beautiful trees, and it wasn't quite as filled in as Robbinsdale. It felt like it had more open spaces. When I was growing up, the houses that were in my neighborhood were built between 1920 and up into the mid-1940s. And we would go over to Golden Valley where Noble Elementary was, and we would go through these neighborhoods that were newer. There was what we thought was sort of a little exclusive area called Heathbrook that was down there by Sweeney Lake, and it had streets that didn't go anywhere that curved around, and you kind of lost the grid as you went over there by Noble School, and the houses just seemed nicer. The people had more money. They had better furniture. I don't think I was alone in that. I think everybody kind of felt like, well, we're not over on the nice part of town. We're just over here in Robbinsdale, and we're a little bit older, but we were feisty about it. You know, we loved our Robbinsdale, but we knew that we weren't quite as slick or as new as some of the surrounding suburbs. This eventually finds its way into our local government, and Robbinsdale decides that they really need an economic redevelopment authority. There was a charter commission, and the city attorney, Peter Rufinock, he made a 52-page city charter that would conform more with other model charters. One difference in the charter commission was that it staggered elections. The other thing that really came out of that whole redevelopment movement was we started this thing called the Robbinsdale Housing and Redevelopment Authority. There were some old state statutes that were discovered by a city manager named George DeLay, and that made it possible, along with the city attorney, Peter Rufinock, and they decided to do all this legal work and create this scattered site program. And what they did was they took little old houses. Sometimes we used to call them alley houses. There would be a house that was built on the back of the lot, closer to the alley, and it would be smaller. Maybe it would just be one bedroom. It would sometimes, we would think of it as like a cabin almost. The city looked at those and said, we have to get rid of those. And they started buying them up and tearing them down and getting a new house built. And to this day, Robbinsdale, looking at areas where there's a skip lot, so you would have a house and then you'd buy the lot next to you and you could put your chickens there maybe. Maybe you could grow a garden there. So Robbinsdale's looked at consolidating those lots, taking down the old house, putting a newer house there that's on a bigger lot and is a bigger house. And this all started back in the 1960s. They really went through, I don't have numbers, but we'll just say maybe anywhere from 50 to 100 properties where they took the little house down and they put up a new house and sometimes would consolidate lots and would bring us into line with some of the other suburbs and give us larger houses and larger lots. Most people would consider it a success. I like the silly little houses that sat on the back of the alley and maybe they had a little character. There are still some, if you drive around town, you can spot them. I know there's a couple that are on the east side of Crystal Lake that were actually little lake cabins that were rented out just for the summers. And then over the years, a couple of them got winterized and turned into houses. A couple of those are still standing. But for the most part, they eliminated those. And the Redevelopment Authority also looked at downtown. And we've got plans that never got quite done. One of the things they got done, though, was they gave it new sidewalks. They gave it new street lighting, gave it a couple new parking lots. It took them years, really, to get rid of the old gas stations, to some of the substandard businesses didn't go down, or substandard buildings, I guess, didn't go down until the 1980s. And then they really just started tearing down everything, whether it was substandard or not, or had anything to do with city history or not. But in the 1960s, the idea was, we're going to build a little downtown. We're going to give it a few more parking spots, a few more trees, a few more open areas, and we'll hope that that rejuvenates the business there. It's hard to say how Robbinsdale downtown survived at all, because one terrible thing was done to it after another after another. Walking down there yesterday, I'm looking around, and I had a friend who hadn't been here in a long time, and it really still has that low, cozy feel. I think there's a lot more to do down there now than there was certainly when I was growing up, and maybe even more to do down there than there was during the 1960s. In the early 1960s, you had a couple cool restaurants. You had the attempt at the teen club and the nightclub. Another one was a place called Mr. Goldfinger's. A couple other little restaurants, a cafe. You still had a Crown Drug. You had a great big Red Owl. So people were still going downtown. After the Red Owl closes, the whole building gets torn down, and it just becomes sort of parking area. And then as you go back toward Highway 52 or what's Botanical Boulevard now, that was all parking area too. There was a car wash there, a couple gas stations. Over at Robbins Center, you still had some cool businesses that people were spending time in. But Merwin Drug had a little fountain and a little restaurant in it, so that became a gathering place. The drugstores up on the main street in Robbinsdale, Henny's and Mueller's, they were both closed by then. The other thing that was a big attraction in Robbins Center was this place called Block's Menswear. And one of the fun things that Block's did is they always advertised in the Robbins Tale, the high school newspaper, and they would use high school kids as models. So it would be, you know, Sharon shops at Blocks for Jim, you know, and there would be Sharon and Jim in their sweaters. And they would also use the local rock bands. So the Underbeats shop at Blocks, and they would feature each guy in the band or the guy from the Castaways, and he would be in the ad. It looked like, at least from their advertising and the few people I know who can still remember this, this was the place to be. This was the place where you'd go buy your clothes. People would actually hang out at Robbins Center. There was a shoe store and a record store and the drug store, your grocery store was there. So you still had some activity, but the downtown was dying, and they just kept trying to pep it up any way they could. And they did the same disastrous things that every downtown in America did. How can we fix downtown? Well, you need to tear down stuff and give it more parking, because that's what people really want. At one point they did, not because they missed the trolleys or the streetcars or didn't think they had enough public transportation, but they thought it was a cute idea. They ran a tiny little bus, sort of a short bus, from down there where Ward's and the Terrace Theater were up to downtown Robbinsdale, and it would just make a couple runs back and forth. And they got the MTC to go along with that. I don't think it was a wildly successful venture. And I should mention again that we got our city hall. It took a long time for Robbinsdale to finally pull itself together and say, well, we tore down our city hall in probably 1954. We're going to need a new one. Robbinsdale's old city hall on West Broadway was torn down to make room for the growing Red Owl and its parking lot. And so that's 1954. And then the municipal offices moved over to sort of temporary headquarters in the police and fire building on Hubbard. And then construction of the new government offices back behind Robbins Center begins in 1968. And so the Robbinsdale Civic Center was dedicated to Mayor Charles O. Wallace on October 24th, 1970. Wallace was the villager recorder in 1937. He became Robbinsdale's first city clerk, and he held that office from 1938 to 1945. He served as the mayor from 1947 to 1954, and Robbinsdale likes to have a mayor for a while and then bring him back later. So again, he serves in 1967 from 1972. Our little civic center, our city hall, is named after him, and there's a big plaque on the outside. He's also remembered, I should say, as Captain Billy's barber. So in the 1920s, he cut Captain Billy's hair, and he was still telling the Star Tribune stories about that in the 1980s. But he was somebody who was fondly remembered for a whole bunch of reasons. He also had some great schemes before Robbins Center was ever built. Of course, it was a big swamp. And so he had talked to various county commissioners and had all sorts of studies done. Could we take that swamp and connect Crystal Lake and Twin Lake through the swamp? And then we would have a little place where boats could go through, and it would be, again, the vision is like Robbinsdale will somehow be like South Minneapolis. We'll have these lakes and you'll be able to rent a canoe and paddle from one lake to the next. And well, Twin Lake is so much bigger than, it's longer anyway than some of those lakes in South Minneapolis. But that vision never came to be. But at least he got the Civic Center named after him and was able to be around and tell those stories for many years to come. I wouldn't want to talk about the 1960s without mentioning Cooper High School, since generations of Robbinsdale students have now graduated from there. So October 23rd in 1962, the voters dutifully voted for another second school bond issue. And this time it was for a second high school to be opened in 1964, named the Edwin J. Cooper Senior High School in honor of school superintendent Edwin J. Cooper. I think he was actually still the superintendent at that time. But he was a Robbinsdale resident. He lived right over there on Lakeland. His house is still standing. So the bond issues were routinely passed back then because voters were producing lots and lots of kids, and they knew they needed to pay for schools for these kids to go to. The baby boom was not easing up at all, and there were just more and more families moving into the area. So it was never a problem to get those bonds passed and to build those new high schools. So Cooper High School goes up with its famous round buildings. And to this day, if you talk to somebody who went to Cooper, that's what they remember, that the building was all in circles and they just walked around in circles all day long. I was sort of thinking about some of the things that were in the neighborhoods that we don't have now that we still had in the 1960s. We had these tiny little neighborhood grocery stores in McNair Manor in South Robbinsdale. You had this place called Price's Grocery. And of course, North Drug or the Circle Drug open up at the same time. And there's something we should talk about. So Circle Drug, there was also next to it was Circle Pizza. And next to that was Dr. Samuelson maintain a clinic there. Even after he left the hospital, he had that little building there was a clinic. The reason it was called Circle Drug or Circle Pizza, which later moved downtown, was because there was a traffic circle there, or a roundabout as we call them today. This thing was built in 1945, and it's where Lowry Avenue and Oakdale Avenue and West Broadway and York and Victory Memorial Drive, as Worth Parkway comes up, we've called it Glenwood Parkway. All those things came together and nobody knew what to do. So they put in this giant traffic circle. And in the 1940s, originally streetcars would cross the circle. So there were tracks running across the middle of it. But after those got taken out, you had this big grassy circle. And even when I was growing up in the 1970s, kids still remembered this, because if you were a cool kid, you could ride all the way around the circle without your hands on the handlebars. So you could ride no-handed around the circle. And people, when they were learning to drive, remember this, because this was a special challenge for a new driver to come up and find their way around that circle. Nobody loved the circle, but it was talked about a lot because there just wasn't that many roundabouts. At one point, somebody had told me that there was a fountain in the middle of the circle. I don't remember ever seeing that fountain. And here's Dave West, so I bet he remembers the traffic circle. And I also remember that it got taken out in 1964, and that's when we got our big overpass. Before that, the drugstore there was called Circle Drug.
Yes.
Later, it became Purity, Darity, and North Drug, where I worked when I was a kid. But do you remember, were you old enough to drive around the circle?
I was not old enough to drive around the circle, but I remember riding with my mom on the city bus, you know, going from Robbinsdale to downtown.
Yeah, and you'd come to the circle and she knew what to do.
Well, the bus driver knew what to do. And
we, okay.
And so I was just standing there.
Yeah.
And mom always tells me the story. I was such a nice kid. As we went past the circle, I stood up on the seat and announced to everybody, there's the pop store where Uncle Chester brings me.
That's excellent.
So, mom was real happy about that.
Stop the bus.
You need There's Uncle Chester's. We're gonna stop at the pop store.
That's funny.
Okay.
Well, Dave, can we drag you into this? You want to plop down? So we've mostly just been talking about the 1960s. I was just talking about the little grocery stores that were in the area. Circle Drug is the one I remember, and then there was Olson's over on Yates Street. There was Price's down in my neighborhood. There was an Easy Shop, and I was told that was actually some sort of car parts place before it came to Easy Shop. Do you remember a little store in your neighborhood?
Actually, Mom tells me there was a little store on the corner of France and Oakland, because she got off the streetcar at France and Oakland, and there was a store there. And of course, there was another one on 36th in France, little store.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that one was still in business until probably the 90s.
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah.
In my personal neighborhood, there was just the store that Dave Kressel worked at on 42nd and Adair. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. A little one there, too.
Yeah.
So there were all these little tiny, you know, you could run down and get some milk or something to eat.
You could plot all those little stores by either the bus route or the trolley route.
That's where they sat.
Exactly. There was a mom and pop every four or five blocks.
Do you remember Montgomery Ward's opening up?
Oh, yeah. I remember the Ward's opening up. We shopped a lot at the SNL in Robin Shopping Center.
Okay.
I got a lot of clothes at SNL, but I'm sure we got some at Montgomery Ward's, too.
Do you remember shopping at Blocks in Robin Center?
Blocks Men's Store, yes. I remember the ads from the Robbinsdale paper.
Yep.
Don't be a follower, be a leader. Join the others who shop at Block.
What else do you remember about Robin Center? What was there? Merwin Drugs was there, right?
Yep. Yep, Merwin Drug was there.
Did it have a restaurant?
It had a fountain, and you could get hamburgers. We ate at Merwin's in the... even in the days of the 80s when we were first married. As far as the shopping center, the person that we should talk to is Pokey Hokinson, because he lived just up the hill from the post office. And his house was torn, his folks' house was torn down for Copperfield. But yeah, he remembers playing in the swamp there.
Right. We had talked about that a little bit because Charles Wallace, our mayor, at one point, it talked to the county about using that swamp as a canal,
right,
from Crystal Lake to Twin Lake.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Did you ever wonder what would be the reason for that?
You would attract people just like the lakes in South Minneapolis.
Oh,
you would,
of course,
rent up canoes, and they would go back and forth, and you would have these maybe property values would. You'd have more waterfront property if you had this canal.
Yeah.
At some point, the county commissioners just shook their head at it.
But did you always live in Robbinsdale, or did you move here?
My mom and her family moved to Robbinsdale in 1946. And when my mom and dad first got married in 1950, we lived with my grandma in that house in... Yes, I've always lived in the area. I grew up in Crystal, actually, by Crystal Airport, and then by 42nd and Adair.
What do you remember about the great blue jean protest at Robbinsdale High School?
My brother, class of 71, was involved in that. We, in class of 68, we still couldn't wear blue jeans.
Hey.
As a matter of fact.
So you graduated the year before that happened.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I don't remember that. But there were all sorts of those draconian laws about what you could wear and what you couldn't wear.
Yeah.
And I remember the one that struck me is I forgot to wear a belt one day, and you had to have a belt if you had belt loops. So I went in the bathroom, and I cut the belt loops off my pants rather than wear a Boy Scout belt, which is what the principal would make you wear.
That is a great workaround.
Worked for me. I don't know how my mom felt about that, but
wouldn't want to wear a Boy Scout belt. That would be embarrassing.
Oh, yes. Really embarrassing.
What about, did you ever go to someplace else?
I never did. I was really shy. It was probably shy because of wearing a Boy Scout belt. But no, I do remember walking with a friend of mine past someplace else, and a couple of guys jumped out of a car and tried to beat us up.
So yeah, the place didn't have a great reputation, which probably helped it get closed down at some point. But
probably
people love talking about it, though, I've noticed.
Yep.
So over there by Robbinsdale High School, you had the Clock Drive-In.
Yep.
And you had the Robin's Nest A&W.
Yes.
Yep. What do you remember about those places, and what are some places where would you go after school to hang out if you weren't going home?
The only place I remember hanging out is the Robin's Nest after games, and then after sports and things like football games, one of the kids in our group, his father owned Taco Town on Osseo Road.
I'm still in business in the 70s and 80s.
We would go to Taco Town.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bridgman's was always packed.
Yeah. And was this the Bridgman's by Brookdale?
Yes. Okay. Yep. Yeah. And Taco Town was just around the corner from the Bridgman's there.
Yeah. And even in the 80s, maybe 90s, my sister was working at that Bridgman's.
Okay. Yep.
It was there for a long time. Do you remember Brookdale opening up?
Yes, I do. Deal. Actually, I remember it very, very well because my father was a school bus driver. So he was kind of a part-time custodian then, along with being a school bus driver. And so he worked at Brookdale when it first opened up, being a custodian for the place from like 9 to midnight.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. So I remember him, going to work for those couple of hours.
Uh-huh.
And the only story I remember about that was the janitors the custodians were able to clean the fountain out of money every night and split it up.
So that was a tip.
That was their tip.
I always thought it went to a charity or something.
I don't think so.
Where did you guys hang out? Was Twin Lake a good place to swim still?
I was not a swimmer. No.
Okay.
Twin Lake was not a good place. Mom remembers a little bit about Twin Lake, but even in the late 40s, it really wasn't a good place to swim.
Yeah. Did you work somewhere in Robinsdale?
The only place that I worked, I didn't work in high school, but the only place I worked was Thriftway in Crystal.
Oh, okay.
I was the only Robinsdale kid out of all the Cooper kids who were bag boys.
Okay. How about the Terrace Theater?
I do remember the Terrace Theater. I remember going to, we weren't big movie people, but yeah, I remember going to Saturday matinees and occasionally my folks would schlep us off to see something like one of the Cary Grant comedies that were pretty clean for kids to watch.
Would they just drop you off?
Yep, just drop us off.
Yeah. With enough money to go in and...
And go in and get some popcorn. Mm-hmm. And that was about it. And all I remember is it was always packed with kids doing something, running around. Nobody wanted to watch the movie. Well, they all ran around.
What was the most trouble you could get into as a teenager in Rocks?
Oh, boy. I was, as I am today...
Oh, you were so well-behaved.
I squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Squeaky clean.
Yep.
The only trouble I ever got into was getting beat up outside of someplace else.
Really?
And
you didn't have it coming.
No, no. It was had something to do with one of the guys in the group. He was wearing something stupid that they didn't like.
And how big a class did you graduate with?
I think there were about 850 kids in our class. Well, out of those kids, I remember the. Six or eight kids who sat around me in homeroom. So anybody with a V or a W name,
right?
That's who I remember. And then, of course,
did you guys come over to the library here?
I came over to the library when we lived on 42nd and around 42nd and there, so yep. I could walk here. I just remember 42nd was two lane,
huh.
With no real curbs and stuff, but there was a sidewalk. I know we could walk on the sidewalk. I didn't like to walk on the main street, so I would walk down, you know, down the side and then just cross Highway 100 at 42nd.
Yeah. So in that neighborhood, I think of a lot of the houses being built in the 20s or being a little bit older. Do you remember things filling in more in the 60s? Were they still building?
Our house on Adair was built in 1965, and we built right next to a guy whose house was built, maybe in the teens or 20s, and we were built on his garden.
So you were built on the skip lot.
Yes, and his house was still there for about the first year. And then he and his wife passed and he moved, and then they built another one next to us in 66. But yeah, I remember his house. He even had an outhouse.
So they took down his house.
They took down his house, but not until the next year after we moved in.
Mm-hmm. When did you get your driver's license?
A couple of weeks after I turned 16. Yeah. We all did in those days. You got your permit as soon as you could. And
did you have driver's ed at the high school?
Yes, I did in a 67, a blue 67 Ford.
So you got your license and maybe you get to go borrow the car for the first time. Where do you want to go?
The first big thing I remember was the senior prom. I can't remember where we held the prom.
Not at the high school?
I don't remember much about it. It was pretty traumatic. I was in a haze. I was so scared. But I do remember that Peggy and I ate at Northeast, the big...
Jack's?
Jack's. We ate at
Jack's. That's fancy.
J-A-X. Oh, yeah. I was so nervous I couldn't eat anything, but we ate there.
What'd you wear?
I had a white... tux, white sport coat tux.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I still have the picture.
Thanks for listening. I'm Crystal Boyd. Robbinsdale Revisited is brought to you by the Robbinsdale Historical Society. Our little history museum is located at 4915 42nd Avenue North in the heart of Robbinsdale. We're open Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 3. You can also visit us online at robbinsdale.org. You found this episode, so you know where to find the next one. Bicycle into the city every Saturday to see our friends. In the bus back home, sitting hand in hand. When the evening ends, when the evening ends, when the evening ends, in Robbinsdale.
Our theme music is provided by Gabe Barnett and Them Rounders.